Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ittinamine Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare The opportunity and privilege of speaking to the ISKCON audience on the occasion of World Holy Name World Holy Name Day is something I've been looking forward to. By Lokanath Maharaj's kindness, we'll be speaking on a verse from Canto 12. Chapter 3, Text 51, and a little background on the verse is at the passing of Krishna, the conclusion of Krishna's pastimes in this world, after a short juncture or sandhi, the age of Kali begins. Now before the age of Kali begins, Krishna Dvaipayan of Vyas, who is Trikalagya, looked into the future of this age of Kali, and he saw the conditions that are described in Srimad Bhagavatam, and is also within our own
practical experience. And he saw the different difficulties, the living entities who would be subjected to the conditions of the age of Kali, being compassionate as a wise person naturally is, who wanted to do something. But being a literary person, his contribution was a literary contribution, that is, he, knowing that people would be short-memoried and short-lived and disturbed, and not of great spiritual interest, and misguided and unfortunate.
He decided to take the original Veda, which was present in sound through the ages, and write it down, but not only write it down, divide it into four divisions from that same original Veda, prepare explanatory section of the Vedas, summarized all the Vedas in Vedanta Sutra, massive work, and then reflecting, as one will do after completing an important task, asking himself how did it come out, and he felt a pinprick, he felt discontented, and he was very surprised, and pondering, why is that feeling? And as he was contemplating in this way, his spiritual master, Narada Muni, appeared at his ashram. And the result of the discussion between the two was an instruction from Narada to Vyas to write one literature that is the result of his mature stage of samadhi in contemplation on the absolute truth, personality of Godhead Krishna, and then compose one literature that simply glorifies Krishna as that mature samadhi realization made available. So that's what Vyasadeva did, and this verse that we're discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 12 is precisely the concluding section. The 12th canto is from the concluding section of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll be discussing a verse from chapter 3, where Shukadeva Goswami is summarizing to Maharaj Parikshit the circumstances in each of the four ages. And because this literature is particularly intended to mitigate the miseries of people of this age of Kali, a lot of verses are presented describing the age of Kali itself. So we're going to take a look at some of those verses that precede this particular assignment of 12, 3, 52, 51. The age of Kali is a very dangerous age where all good qualities are destroyed. So Vyasadeva, through Shukadeva Goswami, starts to elaborate in great detail, many, many, many verses. Some of them will be speaking just now. In the age of Kali, people tend to be greedy, ill-behaved and merciless, and they fight one another without good reason. Unfortunate and obsessed with material desires, the people of Kali Yuga are almost all Shudras and barbarians. Not very inviting. When there is a predominance of cheating, lying, sloth, sleepiness, violence, depression, lamentation, bewilderment, fear, and poverty, that age is Kali, the age of the mode of ignorance. Sound familiar? Just click on the news and you'll find all of these things presented on a regular basis. Because of the bad qualities of the age of Kali, human beings will become short-sighted, unfortunate, gluttonous, lustful, and poverty-stricken. The women, becoming unchaste, will freely wander from one man to the next. Servants will abandon a master who has lost his wealth, even if that master is a saintly person of exemplary character. Masters will abandon an incapacitated servant, even if that servant has been in the family for generations. Cows will be abandoned or killed when they stop giving milk. All these things are existing in society today, but Vyasadeva wrote about them long before they happened, and it spirals downward and downward as the age progresses. Cities will be dominated by thieves. The Vedas will be contaminated by speculative interpretations of atheists. Political leaders will virtually consume the citizens, and the so-called priests and intellectuals will be devotees of their bellies and genitals. How will society be uplifted? There's 24 such verses in this chapter 3 of Canto 12, and after reciting so many of those verses comes this particular verse, well known within the Hare Krishna movement. Kaler doshinate rajan asti hyeko mahan gunan kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha param vrajet. Didhi means ocean and dosha means faults. So imagine what is an ocean of faults. And that's the age of Kali. Our scriptures teach us that everything that exists has both qualities and faults. We'll find this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, nicely described. Everything has qualities and faults. But Kali is such that it's not just with some faults, it's an ocean of faults. That's the characteristic. The list can go on and on. An ocean. How many waves in the ocean? How many waves of doshas are there in an ocean of faults? That's not very inviting. But there is one eka, good quality, superlatively good quality, mahan gunaha. One good quality. What is that one good quality? Kirtanad eva krishnasya. Krishna kirtan is that one good quality. And what's the feature of that Krishna kirtan? Two parts. Mukta sangha. The influence of the ocean of faults, which otherwise would contaminate any person who's living during this age of Kali and then naturally by association becomes contaminated, one becomes liberated from such contamination. Mukta, sangha. But not only that, not only the cleansing of the doshas, but paramrajat. This Krishna kirtan carries one to the spiritual world. Krishna kirtan carries one to the spiritual world. Param brajat. We can go to Krishna directly simply by Krishna kirtan. Not only after this life, but in this life we can be in Krishna's presence. Even in the midst of this dosha nidhi, ocean of bad faults. Here's the translation of that wonderful verse, my dear King Rajan. Although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. What is that? Please tell us. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Mukta Sangha Param Vrajat. And we're celebrating the World Holy Name Day or Holy Name Week in honor of this important instruction. It's not only here in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, from the very first canto and throughout, the significance of chanting the holy name is spoken again and again as a refrain. If one reads the Bhagavatam carefully, you'll see it emphasized again and again. The importance, the singular importance given to the chanting of the holy name. The very next verse and the last verse of this Canto 12, Chapter 3 is another very celebrated verse within ISKCON. Krite yad dhyayato vishnum chaitayam yajato mukhai drapare paricharyanam kalo tad hari kirtanat. We all know the verse because we hear it regularly. It's comparing, as the whole chapter is doing, so this is like a summary verse of the entire chapter. Krita yuga. We're accustomed to saying satya yuga, but they mean the same. Krita yuga, the means of achieving spiritual perfection, the yuga dharma, is dhyayate, meditation. Upon whom? Vishnu. Krite yad dhyayato vishnum. One is encouraged to strive for perfection in Kriti Yuga or Satya Yuga through the process of meditation. Then, in the next yuga, Treta Yuga, the recommendation for achieving spiritual perfection is to worship Yajato, the personality of Godhead Vishnu, through sacrifice, Makai. Chaitayam Yajato Makai. The process of Vedic sacrifice is so prevalent in Dwarpa Yuga as the means of achieving spiritual perfection. And then the next yuga, during the time that Krishna appeared, Dwapara Yuga, is the archana process, deity worship. And then in this age of Kali, Hari Kirtanad, that's the yuga dharma. And of course we know very well that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appearing early in this age of Kali, descended for one of the reasons for his descent, was to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement to bring the chanting of the holy name to the foreground throughout the world, throughout the whole society, for the whole entire age, especially the first 10,000 years of this age, is especially recognized as very, very significant. Meditation, sacrifice, fire sacrifice, deity worship, and the chanting of the holy name. It's not that the chanting of the holy name was not present in the previous yugas, etc. There's a mixture of these processes, but strong emphasis, singular emphasis given to the chanting of the holy name in this age of Kali. There isn't another way. Our celebrated verse, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam Kalo, Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. It's singular importance. Other processes surely should be taken up. Our meditation is meditation upon the sound of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, messages in relation to Krishna and the holy name of Krishna. That's our meditation process. Our deity worship is accompanied with, begins with, in the middle and after, is the chanting of the holy name. Without deity worship, without the chanting of the holy name, deity worship is incomplete. And the sacrifice, the primary sacrifice, is the Sankirtan Yajna. That's our sacrifice. The other forms of sacrifice are certainly also parts of our Vaishnava process, but the essence is the chanting of the holy name. Even during the fire yajnas, the chanting of the holy name is singularly important. Here's Prabhupada's translation of that nice verse. Whatever result is obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dwarapa Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is the scriptural authority behind this very important and principal activity of the Hare Krishna movement, or ISKCON, this wonderful worldwide society that Srila Prabhupada gifted to the world to provide the opportunity for coming together, or solitary in your home, and engaging in the chanting of the holy name, whether it's done musically or by performance of japa or any manner whatsoever. This is the power of the holy name, and that power has been gifted to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu over time, over generations and generations, and going into the future as well. The power is the power of the holy name. One of the greatest followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we know, is Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami was instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give teachings that elaborate on the process of bhakti to awaken the dormant consciousness, Krishna consciousness of living entities. Here's a celebrated verse that focuses on the name. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhe Hi Jiva Dao Swayam Eva Sparaktida. The verse is saying essentially to understand Krishna, starting with his name, Namadi, or Krishna's form, or Krishna's qualities, or Krishna's pastimes, or anything in relation to Krishna which is fully transcendental, material senses cannot enter there. Material senses can't project themselves, or the mind, reading the information from the senses or interpreting the information from the senses, cannot understand transcendence because Krishna is far, far beyond. Transcendental means beyond the mind and the senses to be able to reach. So how are people in this age, or of any age, able to understand? Well, Rupa Goswami gives the answer. It's, of course, it's the bhakti process. But the bhakti process begins with service, starting with the tongue. Sevan mukhe hi jiva dao. Jiva, this is the tongue, spelled differently than the word jiva, the living entity. Jiva is the tongue. And with service with the tongue. Many times Srila Prabhupada would speak on this verse. Service by the tongue has these two functions, tasting and vibrating. Vibrating the holy name. Vibrating the messages of transcendence. The messages we hear in Srimad Bhagavatam. This kirtan, Krishna kirtan, or Krishna katha, Krishna kirtan is described by Bhaktisiddhanta not merely musical kirtan or musical kirtan and japa, but Krishna kirtan includes reciting the pastimes of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the form of Krishna, descriptions of all these things is included in Krishna kirtan. This is the Sankirtan movement that includes all these things. So that's a form of service. And when one performs that service, then svayam eva spurati. Spurati. Krishna can be seen. Krishna can be understood as he is. There's a very nice section in Canto 10, Chapter 38, one of my favorite sections of the Bhagavatam, is where Akrura, who has remained in Mathura assisting the wicked Kamsa, with one reason only, he wanted to see Krishna. He knew that Krishna would appear, it was foretold, and he was an pure devotee, very elevated personality, and he was sent by Kamsa to bring Krishna for his diabolical purposes. Akura knew Kamsa is inviting his destruction. I don't mind being an instrument of Kamsa's destruction. And so he went to see Krishna, and as he was riding in his chariot, 22 verses describing his absorbed meditation, dhyayate, absorbed meditation on Krishna, specifically with the anticipation, eager anticipation, ecstatic expressions of transcendental emotion in anticipation of meeting Krishna, seeing Krishna face to face. So supposing you were told, by the end of the day, you're going to see Krishna face to face. What would you be feeling? Probably very happy, or more than happy. If you understood really what that meant, you would also be totally ecstatic with great eagerness to see Krishna. So Rupa Goswami is teaching us here in this verse. This provides us the opportunity to see Krishna and to understand Krishna as he really is. I really like Prabhupada's translation. Material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes, but when a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue, to chant the holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food. The tongue is purified, and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. I like that phrase. Understand who Krishna really is. So in this world, there are people that have some idea who Krishna is. Lord Brahma says, as far as I'm concerned, people may say, they know who you are. But I don't know even the beginning of who you are. The unlimitedness of Krishna is beyond mortal capacity. So how are you going to know who Krishna really is or understand who Krishna really is? Rupa Goswami is giving Lord Chaitanya's teachings and the Srimad, which are the same as the Srimad Bhagavatam's teachings, gradually how to come to the position of understanding who Krishna really is. How? Service. What kind of service? Service using the tongue, starting with using the tongue in service to Krishna by chanting the Lord's holy name and tasting the remnants of the Lord's food. In the conclusion, I'm going to show you a little video clip where Srila Prabhupada speaks of these two points, the chanting and the tasting of prasadam. So we're not there yet, but we'll get there shortly. I'm just making note of it so you can see from Rupa Goswami's writing and Prabhupada's translation how these two connect. It's service. And of the two, in the recording that we'll see, Prabhupada is laying emphasis especially to the holy name, even before there was the facility for prasad distribution, just the chanting of the holy name, the chanting of the holy name, the chanting of the holy name, brought the transformation that he was looking for within his audience when he came to America. Those of you that like to read Srimad Bhagavatam, I invite you to read the purport to this last verse of chapter 3, canto 12. In that purport, Srila Prabhupada makes references, the commentators, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, make reference to several other scriptures that say the same thing that Srimad Bhagavatam is indicating. That the perfection in this age of Kali comes from the chanting of Krishna's holy name. How important is it? Perfection in this age of Kali, ocean of faults, comes from the chanting of the holy name. Commonly in the commentary of our acharyas, when addressing these two important verses, 51-52, they also make reference to Canto 11, Chapter 5. This Chapter 5 of Canto 11 comes just before Uddhava Gita, a very important section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the circumstance is Narada pays a visit to Dwarka. We know the celebrated visit of Narada to Dwarka. And one of the circumstances that takes place is Krishna's father, Vasudeva, who is residing in Dwarka, takes the opportunity to hear from Narada very confidential glories of his son, Krishna. And in the course of describing Krishna's glories, which is very, very sweet, very wonderful, Narada is also describing, among other things, the value, the honor that's given by learned persons to the age of Kali. As this image on the screen shows, mode of ignorance, pictured on our left, and mode of passion, pictured on our right, and the blazing fire of material existence, shown in the middle and in the background, are primary symptoms of this age of Kali. It's not glorified. It's something to get relief from. But let's hear what Narada says to Vasudeva about the glories of this dark age of Kali. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga. Why? Because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can easily be achieved by the performance of Sankirtan. It's a little surprising that learned, enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga, not because it's an ocean of faults. There's plenty of reason to find it quite abominable and loathsome. But they worship because of this mahaguna, this one good quality, that is, performance of the congregational chanting. Indeed, there is no higher possible gain for embodied souls forced to wander throughout the material world than the Supreme Lord's Sankirtan movement, by which one can attain the supreme peace and free oneself from the cycle of repeated birth and death. One can free oneself from the cycle of repeated birth and death. Scripture teaches us that's the human mission. And not just freedom from the cycle of repeated birth and death, but param vrajat, to attain Krishna's abode. The Sankirtan movement can deliver that directly. Despite our shortcomings, despite the contaminations and everything. So now, for your pleasure, I want to show a little video clip of Srila Prabhupada giving a lecture in New York City. Somehow I was in the presence of Srila Prabhupada speaking this particular lecture, and I'd like you to appreciate his message. So please listen very carefully.
Hare Krishna. We may not understand what is meaning of Hare Krishna, but still, because it is transcendental sound, it is auspicious. Wherever you chant Hare Krishna, they may hear or they may not hear, it is auspicious for them. So we are sending our man Prasthit Sankirtan, it doesn't matter whether people are eager to hear it or not, but it is auspicious. It will create an atmosphere which is very, very congenial to the human society. That should be our principle. Not that because we are chanting, nobody is taking care, we shall not be disappointed. Our, this Sankirtan movement is so nice that simply by chanting, the vibration will create an auspicious atmosphere. Very honest, people. Now, you can practically see those who are old members. So I began in this New York, in that storefront, simply by chant. So, I did not bribe you American boys and girls to come after me. This is the only asset was chant. That Tomkinson and this Brahmananda Swami, he first came to dance with my chant. He and Achyutananda, that was the first dancing of our Krishna consciousness movement. Yes. And I had no mridangas. That was a, what is that? Drum, little drum. So I was chanting Hare Krishna for from 2 to 5, 3 hours. And so many boys and girls were coming and joining. And there was first photograph in the Times, New York Times, they appreciated. And people also appreciated. So this chanting, the beginning was only chanting. There was no nothing more. At that time there was no program of prasad distribution. That later on it came. So we should always be confident that this chanting is not a vibration of this material world. This is not vibration of material. Ratan Das Thakur says, Golokera Premo Dhana Hari Nama Sankhi. It is imported from the spiritual world.
The video clip that you just saw has some really powerful messages, and one of my favorite exchanges with Srila Prabhupada, I'll share with you from the very same temple room. This is the Henry Street, celebrated Henry Street Brooklyn Temple. That's where Prabhupada was when he was speaking that class. And during that particular visit, I remember very clearly it was a hot summer day, and during the school year, the temple, which was a double brownstone rented building right on the corner, at right across the street on the same corner, was an elementary school. And the elementary school had a playground that was all paved, and surrounding the large playground, there was a 10-foot tall, painted black, wrought iron fence. And what would happen on a daily basis, 5 days of the week during the school year, is after the morning program and breakfast, the devotees would go marching Harinam Sankirtan to the subway, and then come back for lunch. And on the way back for lunch, it was the same time as the lunch hour for the elementary school. And so, when we were coming back from the subway to the temple, the children, the elementary school children, would line up, press their face right against the fence, look through the fence, and make fun of the devotees chanting. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, ha 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 ha. And they would happen every day. And a whole group of them and making laughter. So one particular morning, Srimad Bhagavatam class, I remember this very clearly, Trivikram Maharaj was in the audience, and when it came time for questions, he was the first one to raise his hand. Prabhupada called on him. He stood up. Those of you that know Trivikram Swami, you can just picture in your mind. He stood up and said, Srila Prabhupada, when the school children next to the temple make fun and laugh at the devotees chanting, is that an offense? And much to everyone's surprise, immediately Prabhupada said, no, that's very good. Because we didn't exactly understand Namabhas at that time. Hela Namabhas and Sanketa Namabhas and so forth, they're described in 6th canto, Bhagavatam, that had not been published yet. So we were quite surprised. But that's an important teaching for us, and I want to share with you some realization, factual experience about how that was, what Prabhupada said is true. Some 20 years later, as a sannyasi, I was traveling, going through the Detroit airport in a transit lounge, going from one flight to the next flight, just standing in the hallway waiting for the boarding process to begin. And down a long, narrow corridor was a group of airline employees laughing very loudly and carrying on and having a good time together. And as they came closer and closer to the departure lounge where I was waiting, one in that group of airline employees stopped and looked at me like he saw a ghost. And he said to his friends, you go ahead, I'll catch up with you shortly. And he came straight to me, looked me right in the eye, and said, are you a Hare Krishna? And I said, how did you know? But, yeah, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee. And he grabbed his head and said, oh, no. And I was wondering what that meant. So I asked him. And he said, I'm living in Detroit now, but I grew up in Brooklyn. And right near the temple, right near where my home was a Hare Krishna temple. And I said, oh, really? I lived in that Hare Krishna temple. And he put both hands and said, oh, no. And I said, what's wrong? He said, we were really bad. When we were going to school, in elementary school, and your members would come back, banging on your drums and playing your cymbals and singing, we'd come by the fence and just laugh at you. Hare Krishna, Hare, and he began the melody. And I said, I remember all of that happening, and he did it again, oh no. And then he went on to explain. We treated you people so badly, not just the kids in the elementary school, but neighbors would throw rocks through your windows. When you left your cars on the street and took a parking place overnight, somebody would come along and burn your cars, so you had to stop putting your cars on the street, taking a parking space. We treated you so badly, but you never did bad things to us. You always treated people kindly, you fed people. You're really good people, and we were so bad. And I was a little surprised to hear his feelings about what was true, what he said was true. The neighborhood was a rough neighborhood. It wasn't a commercial, it was a residential neighborhood. And the temple devotees weren't treated kindly. the whole circumstance was a little difficult. And then he went on to say that that melody that you sang, it stayed with me throughout my childhood, and even up until today, the melody would just appear in my mind. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just today, when we got out of work, and I was with my fellow employees, I not only thought of the melody, but I sang the melody. And you know what? They just laughed at me like we used to laugh at you. And I could understand that must be what karma is, because we laughed at you and now they're laughing at me. But you people did good work. You did such good work. Even if people don't appreciate, keep up the good work. So I thought, at the moment, Krishna is speaking through him. How important. Who can say, like Prabhupada said in that video, people may understand, they may not understand. It creates an atmosphere of auspiciousness. So not only the Sankirtan in our temples and before the deities and different Harinam festivals, Nama Yajnas, and so many nice things, the congregational chanting into the public is so important, as this image shows. Our connection with Krishna is made when we're chanting individually, chanting japa, or congregationally, or speaking his glories. This is the prime benediction for humanity at large. And so I'm really happy to be part of the World Holy Name Festival and offering some appreciation to our founder Acharya and to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of the associates, even today, who are carrying forward with great enthusiasm the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I thank you all for allowing me to be part of this festival, particularly Lokanath Maharaj kindly inviting me to speak. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Nama Sankirtan ki, Gaur Premanandi.